Of the thousands of documents and diplomatic cables leaked through WikiLeaks, some came from Heather Hodges, who at the time was U.S. ambassador to Ecuador. They detailed widespread corruption in the Ecuadorian police force. Despite millions of dollars in U.S. aid given to the Ecuadorian government to supposedly fight corruption. Here's a reading of a portion of her cables.
Broad sections of the public report paying bribes related to minor and more significant transactions. The corrupt activities described in this cable hamper U.S. investment in Ecuador. The impunity with which prominent police officials are able to extort bribes and misappropriate public funds is a clear menace to any U.S. company doing business in Ecuador.
The release of the documents didn't go over well with Ecuadorian officials, especially President Rafael Correa, who Ambassador Hodges suspected of knowing about the corruption. She was expelled, and later, in a video link interview with WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange on the TV show he broadcast while under house arrest, Ecuadorian President Correa blamed the criticism on the fact that he was a leftist, and he was effusive in his praise of Assange for the leaks. Here are some excerpts.
President Correa, why did you want us to release all the cables?
Those who don't owe anything have nothing to fear. We have nothing to hide. Your WikiLeaks have made us stronger, as the main accusations made by the American embassy were due to our excessive nationalism and defense of the sovereignty of the Ecuadorian government. It's been a pleasure to meet you, Julian, at least in this way. And cheer up. Welcome to the Club of the Persecuted.
Thank you. Take care. Don't get assassinated.
Thank you.
We're going to have more of all of this in a moment, but the point is it goes a long way in explaining why Julian Assange ended up in the Ecuadorian embassy 3 days ago, just as he was due to be extradited from Britain to Sweden to face accusations of rape and sexual molestation. Assange says the sex was consensual, that he's being persecuted for political reasons. He also fears Sweden plans to hand him over to the U.S. So, what will Ecuador do? President Correa, who's not known as a free speech advocate, said yesterday that he'd have to carefully consider granting asylum to Assange, given that he doesn't want to offend the United Kingdom, a country he holds in deep regard. The BBC's Simon Clemiston is on the street in front of the Ecuadorian embassy in London. Simon, what's going on there?
As a journalist based here in London, it's nothing out of the ordinary, is it? Stuck with a load of world media outlets in a bank of cameras, dodging in and out of the showers as the brollies go up and down the rain. We're behind a very famous London department store. But what is totally out of the ordinary, what is extraordinary about this case, is that we are watching a little bit of pavement, a few steps into a corridor. He's in there. That territory is Ecuador for all intents and purposes. But outside, it's London, it's England. And so he's out of reach of the police at the moment. So we're all watching, and we've all been very excited every time some cars turn up at the side entrance to see whether he comes out, he sets foot on this territory, and he gets arrested.
Well, some people might say, why Ecuador? And in Al Jazeera, for instance, we're reminded that last year, Ecuador announced it was expelling the U.S. ambassador, Heather Hodges, because of claims she made in a leaked diplomatic cable about corruption in the Ecuadorian police force. Of course, those cables were leaked by WikiLeaks. And this Al Jazeera writer writes about in 2011 being at a party in which an Ecuadorian official from the embassy talks about how fond they are of Assange because it was revealed to them what Americans really thought about the Ecuadorian police. This official says, our country will always be grateful to Julian Assange. And we know that last month, Julian Assange interviewed the president of Ecuador, Rafael Correa, on his talk show, a show which airs in Russia. So that could be one reason that he chose Ecuador. What else has he said about this?
I say he hasn't appeared here yet. We haven't seen him yet. But we have heard from him in the last 24 hours. He gave an interview to the Australian radio station, ABC, where he said that he sought refuge there because he felt abandoned by his home nation, Australia.
The Australian government simply does not support its people. There's a journalist, Austin McCall, who's trapped in Egypt, and he also has exactly the same complaints that I have. I haven't met with anyone from the Australian High Commission since December 2010.
The government there has claimed that they've been trying to give him consular help, but I have to say he was quite dismissive of all that. He said his feeling was that Ecuador was quite sympathetic. That's certainly something his friend was saying the other day when we were listening to him outside, that they feel there's some sort of sympathy, some sort of support there for him. But he said in his interview there was no guarantee. His friend the other day said that there was no sort of pre-arrangement. He had no information on any kind of pre-arrangement that he would come and get holed up here in the embassy here. I have to say, he's been here for 3 days, 3 nights, and who knows, he could be here for years. We know that one asylum seeker did actually spend 15 years holed up inside the embassy in Hungary, the U.S. embassy, I think it was, actually, was it?
Yeah, this was a cardinal who went into the U.S. embassy in Budapest in 1956 and lived there, as you said, for years. So what is the sense of what's going to happen here? And by the way, if he steps out with Ecuadorian officials and gets into an Ecuadorian car and goes to an Ecuadorian plane, is he safe? I mean, how does it work?
Well, that is the biggest question of all. I was trying to talk actually earlier to a gentleman who spent 30 years working in the Foreign Office, and he really was saying that it's very, very difficult to see how he could leave the embassy, how he could come out and not be arrested by the police. There is this talk, as you say, of deals being done. Does he somehow sort of not touch down British soil? Does he somehow get in a car and go out? But his view, I have to say, that the diplomat I was speaking to earlier, really was that's almost impossible. I can't see it, neither can he. As we were speaking there, I was completely distracted because about five or six people have come out the Ecuadorian embassy with coffee and tea and welcoming us all and chatting to us.
Well, obviously, they're trying to make peace with the press there. Why would Julian Assange going to Ecuador keep him from being extradited to Sweden?
Well, just to disentangle this case, basically, of course, he's not being extradited because of WikiLeaks. That's not the reason he faces extradition. But I think his fear is that if he's extradited to Sweden, then that may lead him to being sent on to the US to face charges over there with you over the website. So although this sort of bid for extradition is not over the website, his fear is that in turn, that's what will happen.
So if Ecuador grants him asylum, they will pledge, part of that is a pledge not to send him to Sweden for extradition.
That is what I assume.
The BBC's Simon Clemiston on the street in front of the Ecuadorian embassy in London. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is holed up inside, and police and reporters waiting outside. Simon, thanks so much.
Thanks, Robin. Great talking to you.
So, what do you think should happen now? Should Julian Assange face charges in Sweden? Do you believe the Ecuadorians will give him free rein if he goes there? Let us know your thoughts, hereandnow.org, on Twitter at hereandnow and at hereandnowrobin, on facebook.com/hereandnowradio. Click the like button. We'll give you heads up on stories. Here and Now.